For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
What's going on, y'all? This is Donovan Edwards, and you're listening to Roster Watch.
Ladies and gentlemen, citizens of the universe, this is Roster Watch. My name is Alex Dunlap. I'm joined by Cody Carpentier. And Cody, I think that the player maybe so far as fantasy, is the player who's helped his stock and his profile for 2025 as far as best ball so far, do we just kind of have to puke in our mouth and say it's Najee Harris?
I think so, man. This is the landing spot that we've all wanted to see, not maybe next to the Cowboys, that we've all kind of wanted to see a running back go to. And I think for the better part of the last month, the average ADP for this, or average ADP of Amari Hampton, I'll just put it this way, was the Chargers, period. Like, that was the thing. Everyone's like, you know what? Running back two off the board in the 2025 NFL draft, Amari Hampton out of North Carolina. He's going to the Chargers. Just going to be what it is. And I think with Najee now going to the Chargers, the number's not that big. 1 year, $5.25 million happened last night. It's not that much bigger than the $3 million that Javonte got, right? And it's just a touch higher than what Zach Moss got last year, the contract we keep alluding to. And it's a quarter of what Saquon got. And if my math in my brain tells me the right answer, I think that Najee is 27. I think that Saquon is 28. And I know they haven't had the same career path, but Saquon has a massive injury in the middle of that whole thing, and Najee has back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons. So I'd be lying if I didn't say I expected a couple more dollars on that contract.
Yeah. It feels, considering, we'll talk about Javonte Williams here in a little while, and what that means for the Cowboys. A bunch of stuff happened yesterday after we went off, some stuff today that we'll sort of talk about as well. But I think with Najee, it's important because we talked about the best ball cheat sheet. People have asked when this thing's going to go up, and I feel bad because I want to get it up, but I also don't want to get it up and then have to change it after two more minutes, man. I feel like if we can just get through in one more day and get into this afternoon when free agency actually truly opens, I think we'll be able to get this thing up by tomorrow. So you guys can start using it for your underdog best ball drafts. We'll keep on testing it manually. And I like the way it's coming together. Of course, you can get that at rosterwatch.com. But Najee was a guy who I was like, man, I'm going to have to make a significant move here on him, because it's like you said, it really lines up perfectly. And it lines up perfectly from what Harbaugh wants, right? You want a guy that's going to be able to stay healthy, a guy that's going to be able to get what's blocked for him, right? Yeah. And a guy that's not going to put the football on the ground. I think Najee's had 5 fumbles in his entire NFL career. I should check that, but I'm pretty sure that that's right. He What's your always stat with him about his 1,000-yard seasons? Did you just say that?
Well, I've said the one I used to say was coming into this season, he's the only running back, the only active running back in the sport that has back-to-back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons. Now he's the only active one in the sport that has back-to-back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons. Yes. So
yeah,
it's ever building. And you know, it's obviously it's never going to get up to the Mike Evans thing where it's like 10 times, but like at a running back that can at least show that he can play 17 games a year, push through injuries, and we know Najee's gotten banged up, but push through. And I know in fantasy he's kind of been one of those guys that he's kind of a stinker to own. It kind of sucks sometimes when you get a little six-pointer from him because he's got 12 carries and 40 yards and there's nothing to show for it because Jalen Warren's catching passes out of the backfield. But he's a good back, man. And I think in an offense like this that we know they're going to run the hell out of the football, I think it gives him a little bit of a boost. And I was just looking at the best ball where we have him in best ball right now. It's like, look at like the Giants offense. Like Tyrone Tracy's like right there next to him. Look at the Giants offense. Look at the Titans offense. Like the Chargers, we at least know are in a very tough division where they have to score points. And we know they're committed to running the football. And like I said, they're going to have to score points. So it's like, I think Najee's going to be, I think yesterday we talked about Javonte Williams in Dallas, kind of like, is he going to be the guy? What does that mean for their draft capital at the running back position?
We didn't talk about that on this show. So, I mean, we need to go into that for
sure.
Did we
not? Okay. So anyway, we'll talk about that in a minute. But I think what it says, like to me anyway, if I was to frame it that way, would be like, I have like a 70%, 70 to 75% where I'm like, yeah, I think that Najee's going to be the lead back week one through week eight. Like, consistently through it. Javonte, on the other hand, I'm more towards like the 40%.
I think Najee's the lead back through the season.
Yeah, but again, I understand where you're coming from with that. But I also will say, just like you look at the Chargers picks, right? They have a first, second, third, fourth, two fives, three sixes, and two sevens. Like, I still believe they go out and add a back in probably
the fifth
round, right? So
Harbaugh had Donovan Edwards or Mullings.
Probably. And what is that? And like Donovan Edwards in that role as the number two behind a Najee Harris is a little bit of a dynamo.
Well, but so was Blake Corum, but behind Kyren. And I know Kyren and, you know, it's same city, but completely different, completely different guys.
Kyren's right? Also the highest opportunity share in the sport for
the last years. I think with Najee, whenever I, where he was as far as his ADP, I had to move him up to where now I would consider him around where you mentioned it earlier, but I think Tyrone Tracy is a good sort of, you know, a good sort of maybe a good kind of spot to have him. I'm thinking seventh-ish round in best ball. That's getting to a point, man, where it's like after that, I'm going to be out of the running back business for a good long while, and going after these dudes who you can get, like sometimes you can get a Cooper Kupp or a Khalil Shakir, Matthew Golden, Jacoby Myers, Jaden Reed, these types of players, right? The players who, the way that I built this thing so far, I think you can basically be getting is your wide receiver fours with big time upside before I start getting to any running backs that I'm interested. Like this whole group of like DeAndre Swift and Pacheco and Ramondre Stevenson, Travis Etienne, Brian Robinson Jr. Did I say Ramondre? Yeah. Those are guys who I have zero interest in. I do not want any of them. You know, I don't want any of those guys. And I feel like that Najee Harris needs to be more up in the group, at least where I might have some interest if it falls to me right, even in best ball where you're hoping for some spike weeks. He doesn't profile. He profiles to me as a dude that's going to be a good steady Eddie there for the Chargers. I think it's, and just based on kind of the movement that we had to make with him, I think that Najee right now is fine to take in that area that we sort of just discussed before you can get to some of those, you know, I think Luther Burden's probably going to go before Najee still at this point, but I think that I think that Najee's going to kind of creep up into that area.
That NFL draft capital with Luther, that could be an interesting one to watch what that ADP does with him.
The same thing with Matthew Golden, right?
Yeah. Ships pass. I mean, they've already passed, but like continuing to just pull apart, I guess.
Yeah. So that's the whole Najee thing. You mentioned Javonte Williams. Look, it's only a 1 year deal for $3 million. It's pretty, you know, life changing money for me, puny money for NFL, right? You know, not the most. And what I do think is this, does this take the Cowboys out of the Ashton Jeanty sweepstakes at 12?
Yes. I mean, yes, 100%.
Have they even been in the Ashton Jeanty sweepstakes at 12?
Do you say have they been?
Should they have been?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, I think
– so Javonte Williams makes that big a difference to you?
No. My theory with the Cowboys was, you know, the Zeke Elliott pick was always wrong. To take him over Ramsey and then not be able to get Derrick Henry in the second, right? That's all hypothetical hindsight, right? This draft, I think with Jeanty, this class is loaded. Again, you can get a good back in the second or third, which I think is something that this goes into. But
you can get a good back in the fifth.
Exactly. What I think it does is it gives you like that alpha back where Dallas wasn't phenomenal, but they were like a 12 win team when Zeke was at his apex. And what I think a Jeanty or a Hampton does in that offense is give you the ability to have that piece, that Zeke piece. And the offense looks different. And they go out and they add Stephon Diggs, and it's Diggs and Lamb. And, you know, you got Jeanty and Dak, and like try to couple this offensive line together the rest of the draft and through free agency. And all of a sudden, you know, you got an offense that's going to score 30 plus 33 points a game. And I think that that's exciting. And with the Javonte Williams signing, I think with any team that signs a back in these first like 3 days. So Vikings re-sign Aaron Jones, Dallas signs Javonte Williams, jeez, Chargers sign Najee Harris,
Chiefs, Elijah Mitchell.
I don't count that one as much.
Well, I mean, they paid him as much as Javonte is getting paid.
That's fair. That's a good point. That's fair. I'll give you that. But I think my point is like any team that does this, I also didn't have Chiefs like in my mind for like drafting a running back in the first round, but any team that does this, I think it takes the pressure off of having to draft a running back. I know we're pumping up this, like, you know, there's going to be two backs drafted in round one. And I know Mensch is on the McShay show talking like, hey, what if we get three or four? It's like, I don't think three or four is actually in the realm of possibility. I think
Mensch is saying three or four.
He's like, you know, we haven't.
Because he's saying now Quinshon. So he's saying that Travion, Quinshon, like, Omarion Hampton, and Jeanty.
The last time there was four was 2008, right? So he's like, what if hypothetically this happened, right? So, well, I guess what I'm saying is, we know this class is super deep at running back, D tackle, edge. It's good at tight end. And a lot of teams.
Has it been a little bit oversold at defensive tackle?
I don't think so.
Just a tiny bit, man.
It's not about the high end talent. It's not like D tackle, I don't think, has the high end talent that running back does. I think what D tackle has is the depth.
Okay. I mean, I get that. But it feels. Depth was like in a class was only like one top 15 D tackle. It's like, how can, but I can understand what you're saying.
But you know, how people talked about Walter Nolan at the Senior Bowl. Like, we know what Kenneth Grant is. Like, these guys are both good as well as
basically. Yeah.
Like, I think there's a lot of, I mean, you think about like Deion Walker, who I love. I think you like him too. He's like, you know, the Calais Campbell type of a guy from Kentucky. And right now his projected draft capital has dropped down to, D tackle 10, and he's in like the middle of the third round.
No, he's going to go earlier than that.
I think so too.
He's going to go second round. Yeah.
Right. And then we got like Jordan Phillips from Maryland, who's like, I saw him at the Shrine Bowl, and this guy's like, you know, he's built kind of like Puna Ford, but he's got like these legs that like he could squat like 1,000 pounds, and he's like a fourth round guy because he's like the 15th defensive lineman off the board. So I just think it's the depth of playable, startable talent rather than like the running back positions. Like, yo, well, I know Jenty can be an all pro. I know Amarian can be an all pro. I think Travion Quinshon can both be all pro. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
no, just a little bit different. But I guess my whole thought here is teams like the Chargers, the Cowboys, the Vikings, we're all three teams that have been circled and been like running back. Look at
the Steelers did. Then the Steelers gave the 5.3 tender to Jalen Warren. That was another one that was circled at what, 21?
Yeah, they're in the, later part of the draft, 21. But teams that haven't made moves on running back, right? Denver at 20.
Mm-hmm.
You have, who's the other one? The one that I said wasn't going to do it. Las Vegas at 6. I think Las Vegas is sort of in a trade back spot. You could see Las Vegas trading back if like a Shador gets there. If they don't want to go after Shador, they drop back to 6. Somebody comes up to get him. I don't know where they fall back to, but they move back and all of a sudden, you know, they're – I've said I don't believe they go running back, but they haven't made a move in free agency yet. You look at – I think you look at Vegas. I think you look at New England at like 38. I think you look at Chicago. That's obviously been conversed about with the Jenty stuff.
Yeah.
Denver, like there's spots where they haven't made moves in free agency at the running back position, whereas like the Chargers, Vikings, and Cowboys at least did something, and it's all with talent that we respect enough. I know it's 27, 28-year-old talent, but it's 3-5. What was Aaron Jones's? Was he a $10 million guy? That number just seems now, two-year, $20 million. That seems like a horrible deal now in comparison to Najee and Javonte Williams.
They picked up a bunch of your Vikings picked up a bunch of cash, man. Whenever they freed up some money by going with a younger quarterback.
Yep.
Have you thought? I was just digging around today about. I guess I hadn't realized the stuff about the Browns too. The Browns are going to need to draft a runner.
Yeah.
Because you know Mary Kay Cabot's now reporting that the Nick Chubb era is just over. And the Cleveland fans are just totally tilted. I was listening to some Cleveland local radio show, just a clip of it that was on X or something. This old boy, man, this total Cleveland fat boy, he's up. He's gonna give himself a cardiac arrest, just saying like the one good thing about this team, like the one good thing, like there's a list of pros and the list of cons, and you know if you're in your life and you're trying to think about it, moving to a new city or buying a new car or something, you'll sit down and make a list of pros and cons. When I make a list of pros and cons for this Browns team, I have a list of cons that's as long as my arm and one list of pros. And that's the pro is at least the owner's willing to spend money. You know, it's like, and you're getting rid of Nick Chubb. It's like no fans want to lose or whatever. And he might not even be good anymore, but you're going to let him walk because of this, you know, Mary Kay Cabot's report, you know, it's over money whenever this guy is so willing to spend money on. People are tilted about it.
I mean, he's not worth $4 million.
Well, I get it, but it's just like, I'm just saying, like, it's been a talking point. Like, what are we going to, is Jerome Ford going to really be our guy?
Pierre Strong.
Jerome Ford is on contract. I don't have SpotTrack pulled up, but I believe that he's due like $3 million this year, and he's set to be an unrestricted free agent in 2026. Let me just check that out just to make sure.
I just asked Grok, what is Jerome Ford's contract information? And he says he's currently under his 4-year contract signed in May 2022. He'll be a free agent after this year.
Yeah, but I just there was something where I was looking at it and I was thinking maybe that there's not too much debt associated with that, and if they would
well, they're not going to cut 40 still in his rookie deal, and his rookie deal is like worth $8.
No, I think he's due three point something this year, and we're talking about I guess that's not they'll keep it. They're going to add on. They're going to have to add on as far as runners. I'm just saying that's another destination for running backs if we're
I agree. Because I think you look at Ford plus Strong as like your Zach Moss. I know I've talked about the Zach Moss thing like multiple times the last 2 days, but like you look at that Cincinnati situation where they had last year, they had Chase Brown on the roster for a year. They got rid of Mixon, and it was just like Chase Brown sitting there. Then they go sign Zach Moss. I think you look at the Browns right now as like they have their Zach Moss, which is Ford and Pierre Strong, and now they're going to go out and draft probably something like a Chase Brown that can be, you know, just see what happens when fall comes around and fall camp comes around. So I think they're 100% to draft somebody. I just wouldn't go as far to say I would. I mean, there's so many problems with Cleveland, I think, on the offense that – you know, whether it's quarterback or offensive line that just was banged up so badly last year, I think you could make a case for receiver. I just don't know if you could make a honest. I mean, and also they're drafting at two, so they have to trade down, right? So Cleveland picks at 2 and 33. I feel like if you're going to go running back, you probably go at 33 or 67, the front end of the second or third round.
Oh, yeah.
Which is also great draft capital. You get like a Quinshon Judkins there, and all of a sudden you're cooking with
– oh, God. Keep that guy in Ohio. Golly. They would love they wouldn't be crying in their beers about they wouldn't be crying in their beers about Nick Chubb if you could bring in Quinshon for sure.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Thanks to everybody for being here today. Everybody in the chat, Royal Slade, Sly Salinas, our guy John McGlynn. Good to see you, brother. Dylan Gibson, Money B, our dude. It's so good to see all you guys. If you could please like the show, subscribe to the channel. We certainly appreciate it. We're coming to you every day now. And that helps to people to find the show. So if you're listening to this on the podcast, please leave a rating and a review. It helps immensely. Thank you very much for that. Cody, any other running back stuff?
Any other running back stuff? After not Jordan Mason got a second round tender worth $5.3 million in San Francisco.
That's interesting. I mean,
we talked about it with Jalen Warren yesterday, like that. The Mason thing, I mean, man, he was such a – what was his 40, 4.67 or 4.76?
Yeah, but like
– man, write this guy off. Get him out of here.
Yeah, but he made you straight cash money in fantasy last year if you're able to, you know, pick him up after week one or whatever it was. It, towards the end, we were just kind of drafting him at the very end. But
well, I mean, you look at where he's at right now and like, you know, in best ball, like best ball, he's like last round.
Well, because I think people got a glimpse of Isaiah Pacheco, and they just said if something were to what do you think? Isaiah Pacheco, Isaac Garendo.
Garendo, yeah.
Pete, I mean, what do you think about Garendo versus Jordan Mason?
Garendo's much more of a dynamo. He's much more of a slasher like Elijah Mitchell was, but Mason is. You know, if I'm going to depend on somebody in that offense, I think it's going to be the guy that's carrying more weight. And can potentially take on a bigger load. I think the ship has sailed on McCaffrey. I thought that for the last couple of years. I missed on 1 year. I got donkeyed, but I think the ship has sailed on McCaffrey, and I think we're going to continue to see multiple backs on this team. I mean, that team also loses Kyle Juszczyk, who has been their, you know, ultimate Swiss Army knife receiver, tight end, H-back, blocker, catch the ball, throw the ball, does everything. They lose him today. They let him walk.
I think that's – can we put a pin on that and come back to that? Because I think that actually means a lot for the 49ers offense.
Well, we're talking about the 49ers offense with Mason, okay. Right?
All right. Well, it's all right. But as far as the receivers, you can finish your point about Mason, though. I'm sorry.
I think that, you know, when you look at that backfield, I think that Mason is one that it's a $5 million second-round tender. I didn't expect that. I didn't expect this guy to pull. I mean, I will say this running back market that Saquon sort of like reset, right, with his $20 million deal. Aaron Jones comes in and gets 10. Then we see Jaylen Warren get that second round tender worth 5. Then we see Javonte get 3. Najee gets 5. Jordan Mason gets 5. Like, the numbers are very interesting. And I know the tender comes with an automated number, but I don't think Mason's worth I wouldn't touch him with that. I also wouldn't pay him that. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think I would either. I think it probably tells you a little bit more about how the 49ers, maybe not – I don't think the ship has sailed on Christian McCaffrey. I think that he's still fine, and I think for best ball, I think you can still take him. But I don't think you could take him until the third round.
Do you think that so I said the ship has sailed. Now, I've always had this caveat in that I do believe he'll transition to a slot receiver once he gets to a certain point. Do you think that's – I mean, what is his age right now going into this season? He's going to be
– He's 29, 30. Is
his age 29 season?
I don't know. Let me look.
Age 29 season. So I think we're like right on the brisk. Like I don't know. It wouldn't shock me, but I just don't know what that value is worth. Like, when he does get to that point, if he makes that transition, which I think he will, what does that make him worth? And then couple that in. Like, would you be surprised, as we've seen with Austin Eckler, whose workload is pretty much like a 50-50 split between receptions and carries these days, do you think it would be Garendo up next, or do you think that there would be Mason? Like, if they just said, okay, all of a sudden by like week 3, they're like, man, McCaffrey just can't, his legs can't take it anymore. We got to bump him outside because they kind of need some receivers as well. It's like, are you more team Garendo?
Well, I mean, it's just hard because you look at what, you know, what Jordan Mason was able to do, at least to start the season. And it's like, he's a guy that they're comfortable giving up to the upwards of 28 attempts to in one game. You know what I mean? It's like, what were his attempts numbers? It was like his attempts numbers whenever McCaffrey was out, 28, 20, 19, 24, 14, 9, 14. And then if you just look at Garendo, what you saw out of him was just the more of the flashes, but not the it wasn't like you saw, I at least I don't recall him having attempt numbers that, yeah, I mean, the most attempts that he had all season was like 16, but he did pop off for, you know, what, 3 games of at least 4 targets, whereas I have to go back and look at Mason. I'm not sure Mason that ever had a 4-target game last season, did he? No. So his highest target game was versus New England, where he had 3 targets in that game. Other than that, it's a bunch of zeros, ones, and twos. So I generally, I like to go with upside a little bit more. I think Garendo might bring a little more upside, but I've seen the actual fantasy upside and the statistical upside that Jordan Mason could bring. Ultimately, I think he would be a committee with those guys if there was no McCaffrey. And I don't buy into your cockamamie supposition that he's getting moved to slot wide receiver.
Okay, so wait, is this like a you just ever?
Oh no, maybe at some point, but not this season.
Okay. Well, I'm not
going to get managed. I think what the Mason thing shows us is like what they've realized with McCaffrey is you got to manage him through the season, and you're going to deploy him when it gets down to nut cutting time.
I'm not. I'm 100% in my thoughts that I think he'll do it in his career. Like, that's where he'll end as a receiver. But I'm just saying, like, that was my kind of train of thought was like, what if it happens in like week 2? Like, what if they see his legs are dying out on him, and then they make the move?
As far as Kyle Juszczyk, I was doing another show whenever that happened, and you told me about it, and you might not have known, but like how shocked I was to hear. I was shocked to hear that. Shanahan loves him. And I don't know if he's going to bring in somebody else. I haven't, admittedly, I've not done much work on the fullbacks of this class or the tight ends who could be. Are there any tight ends that profile kind of like the Ben Sinnott types this year that are like,
there's no Connor Hayward.
Like, man, that guy actually played fullback. You know,
there's no Connor Haywards. Not at the top anyway.
Let me just look at the, let me look and see here. Yeah, I mean, yeah, because you look at guys like, at least the guys that I've watched all the way down to like the Brenning Stools at Clemson and the Syracuse guy, Conyers from Texas Tech, no way, Gunnar Helm. Oh.
G. Scott, I guess you could tell you of a story. He's on the smaller side, but he's
tall, but no, too like tall and lanky. He's not like a transformer, like Ram Man type.
I don't think there's any of those. Jalen Conyers, I'm not sure. How big is Jalen Conyers?
Conyers is 6'3", 260. So maybe that's
6'3". He's not 260, is he?
Yeah, that's from the Shrine Bowl.
Gosh,
Jalen Conyers from Texas Tech.
Those are combine numbers. So I didn't plug Shrine Bowl into those ones. So those are
combine. All right.
So that's interesting. So
I don't think they're going to go drafting. They wouldn't think about like Pegues or one of these dudes, right? I mean that would be
maniacal.
That'd be cool. The reason I bring it up, do you remember last year whenever Juwan Jennings would pop off for these big games whenever? Because last year there was always one of these pieces in the 49ers offensive rotation that was hurt, right? And it ended up leading to more reps for Juwan Jennings. And he was always so clutch, right? And I remember distinctly a reporter asking him, it's like, why don't you play him more? You know?
Yeah.
And he's like, it's a binary decision for me. It's like, I can play Juwan Jennings and get a third wide receiver on the football field and whenever we're at full strength, or I can play Kyle Juszczyk, who's a super critical part of what we do. And you could tell, you know, he's saying like, even if the fans don't see it, you guys don't see it. It's like as far as what he actually does within the structure of our scheme, it's very important to have Kyle Juszczyk on the field for what we were doing at that, you know, for what they were doing at that point in time. So if there's no Kyle Juszczyk, you can't, as we've kind of identified here, he's a little bit of a, not a unicorn, because I'm sure you could probably find somebody with that particular skill set, but I mean, he could catch, he can block, it's like kind of a unicorn. And, it didn't like, you know, it's not like the next Taysom Hill is walking through that door. So if that's the case, we might see more 11 personnel out of these guys. Ricky Pearsall, what, 36% slot last year? I think that this is adding up for more, like, regardless of what happens with Brandon Ayuk, and I'm still interested to hear what you think what happens with him. He's on Instagram saying that if you're not worth 100 mil, get off his page, stuff like this. He's out there acting like he wants to get, you know.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like regardless of what happens, if it's Ayuk and if it's Jennings and if it's Pearsall, I just think Pearsall, I can't get it out of my head what happened at the end of last season, the Terry ended last season on, and his prospect profile and how we liked him and how he's a first round pick.
Yeah.
People are going much more. It feels like people are going much more crazy about Juwan Jennings right now in these underdog drafts.
Which shouldn't be. I think the Ricky Pearsall thing has real legs. Like, we saw it already. We saw the draft capital that they've spent on him, and they were willing to depart with Debo. Now, if they hypothetically moved off of Brandon Ayuk, I think you do potentially see that Ricky Pearsall thing take off to the moon. And if it doesn't, and if it's Juwan Jennings that takes off, I'm going to throw up because it doesn't make any sense. But
you shouldn't throw up. You should just draft a bunch of Ricky Pearsall in your underdog.
Yes, but I because I love – the thing is I love Juwan Jennings, but I just know what he's not, right? Like he's – what he is a guy that he's a wide receiver version of like a Case Keenum, right, or a Colt McCoy that you just know in a pinch you can use him for like a week or a couple weeks. But he is not this – he's not a Ferrari. I think Ricky Pearsall is a Ferrari. You know, he showed athletically, he showed it to us, you know, traits and talent wise, he showed it to us. And so I believe in that. And I think that what, San Francisco has been doing, San Francisco lost six, contributors on defense today and three contributors on offense, plus a bunch of other depth guys. They've moved on from a lot of pieces, in the last couple of days. So we could see a little bit of a new look San Francisco 49er team that would, I mean, I'll be interested to see. And I think I favor Pearsall though.
Oh yeah, for sure. What about Daniel Jones? So he signs with, have you seen the numbers on Daniel Jones?
1 year, $14 million.
So not quite the minimum starter money that, it feels like Justin Fields got. Justin Fields set the bar for what a starter is going to get, I think.
Well, wasn't his 2 for 30
in this market? Two for 40. Two for 40, 30 guaranteed.
Dimes is going to beat out Richardson.
All right. So that's the thing. At the combine, we asked very clearly and very distinctly of Chris Ballard if you bring in another, if and when. Right. Yeah, because yeah. it wasn't just Ballard who said this. It was two AFC South teams. It was Ballard. And it was, I'm going to forget his name, but he's the Borsongnir. What's his name?
Borgonzi from Tennessee.
Borgonzi from Tennessee said, no matter what we do, if we draft a quarterback, whatever, we're bringing in a veteran quarterback because that's just what we do, right? Like, that's what I've done my whole time. He was in Kansas City. He saw it with Alex Smith and with Mahomes and all this stuff. And he's like, everywhere I've been, we've always done it like this. So that's not to say that if they draft Cam Ward, that, you know, some veteran that they bring in is going to be a bridge quarterback for a year while he develops in the same way Patrick Mahomes did, but they're going to have somebody there to help the guy along.
Yeah.
It's a little bit different of a situation with Indy, with Ballard saying, it's like, look, Anthony's still our guy. We love him. He's doing some good things behind the scenes. I forget which trainer he said he's working with, but he's working on his mechanics, doing all this stuff, right? We like what's happening with him. But we're going to bring in competition, and we're like, all right, real competition. He's like, it's going to be an open competition, a real competition for Anthony Richardson. And with Daniel Jones coming in, we know he stinks, but Anthony Richardson as a passer really, really stunk. So I have thoughts about what this means for the Indianapolis players, but I thought it was interesting to say that you just think that Danny Dimes is just going to beat him out.
Well, here's the thing. We got two things colliding here. One is Daniel Jones just is going to get another fresh start. He went to Minnesota for the back half of last season, and
he got some of that O'Connell magic on him, got some of that magic dust.
Yes, I think he learned the proper way to play quarterback, to probably diagnose the position, read defenses. I think he could probably learn he went to Duke. He's pretty smart. I think he probably learned enough in that short time, the last couple months there, to now where he's going to go to Indianapolis, and he's naturally already multiple steps ahead of Anthony Richardson. He's going to go in there fresh slate. His rush ability is not obviously on par with Richardson, but it's pretty good. I don't know. I wonder if that race would be close. I wonder if Danny Dimes could beat him in a race. But Richardson's going to train with Chris Hess this offseason. Chris Hess is the one. He's the passing mechanics coach that helped Josh Allen, of course, after his rookie season. Now, Josh Allen was a little more advanced. He wasn't advanced. He was sub 60% completion percentage, but he's a little more advanced than what Richardson is today. Obviously not the rushing asset in the open field, more down by the line, down by the red zone. But I don't want to jump to a conclusion. Just be like, yeah, Richardson's going to take this big, big leap. I think Richardson will take a good step forward, but this is going to be a massive, massive training camp battle between Daniel Jones and Richardson. And I hope people take that for what it is on the face. I think for best ball, for seasonal leagues, for all these things, Richardson should be suppressed. He should not be a guy that's had in any conversation near any other starting quarterback. I think when you
– not even Fields. Like he shouldn't be even in the Fields. I was doing it earlier. I'm a dude. Fields should be like a back end quarterback one or a high end quarterback two here. And like Richardson needs to be one of these dudes you take as at highest, man, like your quarterback three, because you're not sure he's gonna, even before I knew it was D Jones, like I wasn't sure he's going to win the job. Now that's not me saying I think Daniel Jones is good, but what I'm saying is, man, this is an open competition. There's a bit of an issue here.
I'll draft Anthony Richardson, but it's going to be with my last pick, in especially in best ball right now. It's going to be my literal last pick, and I'll gladly, get like a 20% exposure on Anthony Richardson if it's my literal last pick. Because again, like, you're going to be in fall with a camp battle with a quarterback that can't stay healthy anyways, that's very inefficient as a passer, with an offense that is run centric, with a lot of weapons at wide receiver and stuff, but I think that Daniel Jones will just command that offense better. So what you have is you just have the ultimate blue eyes white dragon, the Joker, whatever you want to call it, in your back pocket that you got in the last round that really means nothing.
You won't be able to get him in the last round though, but you can get
him. But that's where he should be going. That's what I'm saying. Like, that's the only place I would touch him. I wouldn't touch him anywhere else.
Yeah, no, I totally get it. As far as what it means for the other players on the Colts, surprisingly, Cody, is the player it affects the most if we just based on 2024, right? If I'm looking at 2024. So Anthony Richardson started 11 games, but he did miss time due to injuries and a midseason benching, right? So we have him for weeks 1 through 6, 11 through 15. He was injured in week 17. He didn't finish the game. Benched in weeks 9 and 10. Out for weeks 17 and 18 with the back spasms. So there's a decent on-off split here with him and with Flacco last year, right? So if you look at the games with – so let's start with Josh Downs, all right? The games with Richardson starting, he averages in PPR it was 11.23 fantasy points per game. In the games where Anthony Richardson was not starting, 16.53. So like 5.5 points clear in PPR, Josh Downs, right? And we talked about why. It's like Reggie Wayne loves Josh Downs because he's an epic and an awesome like system wide receiver that can, if you got a quarterback that's capable of throwing the timing routes, he can get separation and he's a good player, right? Josh Downs is a good player, but if you're not throwing with the exact pinpoint timing and just knowledge of the knowledge of where these guys are going to be and the way they kind of Joe Flacco is kind of known for, just kind of put it where you know they're going to be instead of throwing to the open wide receiver, which is what Anthony Richardson does on these deep bombs where he connects with Alec Pierce, right? It's like, that's not going to be good for Josh Downs. So mm-hmm. Josh Downs would be much better off with a Daniel Jones. As far as what does your gut tell you about Pittman? Was he better last year with or without Richardson?
My gut tells me that Pittman was not good with anybody.
Yeah, he was kind of the same. You're sitting at 10.5, like between 10.5, 10.7 PPR points per game without those two. So with Pittman, it doesn't seem to matter. But with Pittman's a hard click right now because he's who knows what the offense is going to be. He was mid last year with both guys, and then I also looked into Jonathan Taylor. Just as far as if it helps him. And because you hear this stuff about how he actually had better rushing efficiency as far as his yards per carry
with
Richardson, 5.2 yards per carry versus 3.9 with Flacco. And if you want to, in week 17, Taylor left the game early, so we can either take that one in or leave it out. If you leave, should I take that one out?
Yeah, take that one out.
Okay, so if you take that one out, his PPR points per game with Richardson starting was 14.29. If I take out the Week 17 game, it's 14.5 with Flacco. So it's kind of the same.
It's a pretty cool tool.
Here's the thing. You would think that Richardson would take away from his rushing touchdowns, but he really didn't.
Yeah.
He had more rushing touchdowns with Richardson than he did with Flacco. And
it doesn't matter. So he's just fine.
I think that Taylor is Taylor and he's fine either way. I think that maybe the rushing efficiency whenever Richardson's in there is just due to the threat that Richardson does provide with his legs, even if we didn't see him use it quite as much last year. Defenses still had to adjust for that in a way that they never would for statue Flacco.
Yeah.
So Daniel Jones isn't a statue though. You know what I mean? And so I do think that if you have Daniel Jones who, they definitely have to prepare for Jones to at least hurt them with their legs a little bit. It's like it isn't that rare a thing to see that guy pop off for 45 rushing yards in a football game. I think Jones would help JT, and I think he would help Downs, and I think Alec Pierce would get hurt because Alec Pierce just has these giant long plays with Richardson, and yeah. Mike Pittman is just going to be Mike Pittman and be kind of mid.
Yes. But here's also a curveball here is the Colts have lost two starters in free agency already. And Will Fries, who has the second largest contract, he's a guard. They also lost Mark Glowinski, who's a free agent, who's not that good. And they lost Ryan Kelly, who was their center.
Yeah.
So now Tanner Bordellini, who's a fourth rounder last year from Wisconsin.
He's athletic,
but he's a year one starter. So kind of the right side of their offensive line is going to be rather reworked. I think they restructured Braden Smith, who's the right tackle, a couple weeks ago. So like the whole Braden Smith is there, but the center right guard situation, I'll be interested to see how the impact on that. They don't have a right guard. Let's put it that way. Like they have, Dalton Tucker. I don't even know who Dalton Tucker is at right guard right now. It says he's a college free agent last year. I don't know who that is. So like there's kind of a hole there at right guard, and you have a center who's a fourth rounder from last year that I think we liked. I remember the name. I don't remember a lot of the analysis from him, but I remember the name from Wisconsin and him being a solid center, but first year center. Naturally, I just think the running game takes a little bit of a hit in that situation.
Over 1,000 of you guys watching, man, on X and YouTube. Thank you guys so much for being here. Remember, please, to like the show, subscribe to the channel. We're here every day, noon Central, 1 Eastern. Got started a little bit late today because of some other stuff, but we'll be here every day for you guys, keeping you up to date with free agency, with the NFL draft, with everything going on, man. I wanted to talk a little bit about the report that we put up today from you, Cody, on LaQuint Allen, but we're not going to have time today. Maybe we could talk some rookies tomorrow. And as far – do you have something on your mind?
I was going to say LaQuint Allen reminds me of another running back that just signed a contract.
Who?
Can you guess? A running back that's a sub $5 million guy signed to an AFC East team.
Signed to – oh. Oh, did the Dolphins? No.
Dolphins are loaded.
Jets didn't sign a running back.
Jets are loaded.
The Patriots signed a running back?
The Buffalo Bills, who have, of course, James Cook, who have Ray Davis.
Did I miss this?
Just happened. Ty Johnson's a free agent. They give a contract to Darrington Evans on the second day of legal tampering.
LaQuint Allen, LaQuint with the Darrington Evans comp.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.